So, at the very least, the Apostle Paul was a man of deep, deep conviction. And so when it came to matters of Christian doctrine, some people might call him uncompromising. And what that meant for Paul's day-to-day life is that if he ever encountered another Christian or another church community or another church leader who was not living out the gospel that they preached, he would not hesitate. He would not hesitate to call that person out on it. Now, this is true to the extent that in his letter to the Galatians, he recounts a story in which he chewed out none other than Peter, the disciple Peter, the guy who Jesus said was the rock on whom he would build his church. That Peter, when Paul learned that Peter had succumbed to religious discrimination and prejudice and was not sharing his table with Gentile converts to Christianity, only Jewish converts to Christianity, Paul did not hesitate to chew Peter out face to face, and he chewed him out royally, creating quite a little kerfuffle in the early church. Like I said, Paul was a man of deep, deep conviction. Now that is why, in Acts chapter 9, when the governor of Damascus sent men to arrest Paul for preaching the gospel inside the city walls of Damascus, Paul, who in today's passage, Romans 13, wrote that everyone should submit themselves to government authorities, that is why Paul, man of conviction that he was, willingly submitted himself to this governor, was arrested, was tried, and was put to death. So that was actually a Bible pop quiz. That's not actually what happened in Acts chapter 9. We work on the honor system here. So go home and grade yourself. If you didn't know that's what happened in Acts chapter 9, go home and read it. It's a short book, a relatively short book. But what actually happened in Acts chapter 9 is that same governor did indeed send people to arrest Paul, but Paul did not submit to the governor's authority. Far from it. What he did was far more hilarious. What Paul did was have his students, through a hole in the Damascus city walls, he had his students lower him in a basket to the ground below. So a grown man was lowered in a basket to the ground below the Damascus city walls, and he escaped the clutches of this evil governor of Damascus. So one Bible fact, the Bible doesn't actually record for us how the Apostle Paul died, but the Christian historian Eusebius of Caesarea, writing in about 300 AD, tells us that Paul was beheaded at the command of the Roman Emperor Nero about 7 years after he wrote this letter to the Romans. So about the year 64 AD, Paul was put to death. But in any case, the question for us today, the question for us at the heart of this text, is kind of an either-or proposition. Is it that there is more nuance to this passage than you see at first glance? Is there more nuance than it appears to Paul's assertion that we must just submit ourselves to government authority? Or is it that Paul is just a standard garden variety hypocrite who says one thing and does another? Either or, which one is it? And the answer to that question, I believe, is yes. Yes, there is more nuance to this passage than there appears to be at first glance. And yes, Paul is indeed kind of a hypocrite. And I say that because the nuance of this passage is less nuance and more loophole, really. Because if we're being honest, the language that Paul uses today is absolutist. He says in absolute terms, everyone must submit themselves to governing authorities because all authority, says Paul, comes from God. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on, he says, everyone, or rather anyone, who rebels against governing authority is rebelling against an institution that God made, so you are in fact rebelling against God, and you will be duly punished for doing that. Right? There's not a lot of wiggle room in Paul's words right there. At the same time, though, in verse 4, Paul says something else that gives us a little bit of an opening. He says, all governing authorities are servants of God sent for our good. So the idea there is that governing authorities don't just get to do whatever they please, right? A servant's job is not to do their own bidding, but it's to do the bidding of their masters. Have you ever seen The Lion King? If not, it's coming out again. You'll get a chance to see it. But there's this one scene in The Lion King where Mufasa, king of the jungle, head lion, is having a conversation with his son Simba about the nature of kingship. And Simba says to his father, he says, you know, I thought being king meant I got to do whatever I wanted. And Mufasa, voiced by none other than James Earl Jones, says in that amazing baritone bass, that deep voice of his, he says in that deep voice of his, there's more to being king than that. And in verse 4, that's kind of the idea that Paul is getting at. Government authorities don't just get to do whatever they please, but rather the idea is that God puts them there that they might enact God's love and God's mercy and God's justice in a public way, in a societal way, in a systemic way. And so the nuance there, the opening there, really the loophole there, is if a government authority defaults on that responsibility and is not enacting God's love and God's mercy and God's justice, or worse, if they're actively working to thwart God's love and mercy and justice in the world, then we, as Christians who love God, we are freed from having to submit from that authority, if not obligated to actively resist them. Right? But it needs to be said that this loophole, which I should mention, was the loophole that our founding fathers exploited in order to create a biblical basis for the American Revolution, right? This loophole is not explicit in Paul's words. At very best, it is hinted at and it is implied in his words, but he does not say it outright. Which means that Paul is also kind of a hypocrite, isn't he? Because on the one hand, he himself did not straightforwardly submit to government authorities when push came to shove. But here, the straightforward interpretation of his words, he is saying that all Christians should do exactly that. So what does this mean for us today? Well, back in June of 2018, June of last year, you may remember that there was this unique moment in time when Christians of all stripes came together in this rare moment of Christian unity. And when I say Christians of all stripes, I mean all stripes. We're talking Catholics and evangelicals and Mennonites and Mormons and Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Orthodox folks and what have you, came together in this rare moment of unity to speak out against, and to march against, and to protest against this administration's family separation policy. Do you remember that? It was a rare show of unity for the Christian church in America. And when, in response to these Christian groups getting together and speaking out as they did, then Attorney General Jeff Sessions, in a speech in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to law enforcement officers, he actually quoted Romans 13. He quoted this very verse as a not-so-subtle way of telling these Christian groups to shut up and get in line. And when he did that, that was actually a very straightforward and very fair interpretation of this passage. And when he did that, he was actually on very firm biblical ground. That is exactly what Paul said. However, when those Christian groups did not shut up, and when those Christian groups did not get in line, it turns out they were even on firmer biblical grounding. Because what is only a loophole in today's passage is in the rest of Scripture a way of life. It's a way of life for the people of God. So I'm hoping that you're going to remember how back in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives to kill all of the baby boys that they delivered. Do we remember that? However, Scripture tells us that those midwives feared God. That's the language used in Exodus. The midwives feared God, and so they refused to carry out that order. They refused to submit to government authority, and they let those baby boys live. And out of their lack of submission, out of this beautiful act of mercy, who do we get? Moses. We get Moses. I'm hoping that you remember the book of Daniel. And I hope that you will remember how in the book of Daniel a law was passed that forbade anyone from praying to anyone other than the king of Babylon. Do we remember this? This is a familiar story. But the Scripture tells us that Daniel was a devout young man who refused to pray to anyone other than the one true God. And so he did not submit to government authority, and because of it, he was thrown into the lion's den. Things actually worked out well for Daniel in that case. It's not always the case, however. And that's the Old Testament. If you open up to the New Testament, I wonder if you'll remember how in the book of Acts, Peter and John were brought before the ruling council of Jerusalem and were commanded by them to stop preaching the gospel. But the Scripture tells us they were filled with God's own Spirit, so they did not submit themselves to government authority, and they continued to preach, and they continued to heal, and they continued to build up God's church. And it is exactly because these women and these men refused to submit themselves to government authority that we are standing, or I'm standing, you're sitting, we're gathered here today in this sanctuary. It was their lack of submission to government authority that brought our faith forward through the generations, and here we are today. So we kind of have to ask ourselves a question about this passage, Romans 13. How can we take this passage seriously? How can we integrate it into our lives of faith and not just throw it out, not just ignore it? How do we take this passage seriously? And for me, I think the best way to do that is to willingly, humbly, and respectfully submit ourselves to government authority in most things. In most things. So Paul actually says you should pay your taxes. He explicitly says do things like paying your taxes. You should stop at stoplights, right? That's a law. That's a government authority. Paul did not say that, but I think he'd probably say it was a good idea. Before you go fishing, get a fishing license. vote, run for public office, do whatever you can to build up your local community, build up your neighborhood, make the world around you a better place, be the best citizen of this nation, the United States, as you possibly can be. But, if you're ever presented with a choice where you have to choose between submitting yourself to a government authority or breaking the law of God's love, which Paul says is the ultimate law, it's the only law that really matters. If you're presented with a choice between those two options, I invite you, friends, to do as Paul did and not as Paul said. Friends, may we be blessed with the courage and the love we need to be good citizens, not just of our country, but also of God's kingdom. Amen.